I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 521. It hurts my brain just thinking about it.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, you good?
I'm very good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, this week kind of ended on, like, a low note Friday, but then a higher note on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, like...
All
like, I know I'm not the only one.
All praise the weekend.
Praise be unto he.
Give it.
And we're not very political here on this show, but no, for those who are happy, okay. And for those of you who are not, okay.
You know what? Here's the only thing I'm going to say about those things.
Stuff.
We're not political, okay?
No.
The thing that I thought that was cool, that I'm so proud about, is to see like how many people turned out for the women's marches across the globe, not just in America, but in countries across the globe. And it was just so cool to see people coming together in peaceful protest to represent more than half of the global community in a positive way and stand up and be counted. And that was cool. And that's all I'm going to say about that. It was cool.
Yep.
It was cool to see. It was so cool. Super dope. We're all in this together. And hey, woo. All right.
Ooh.
Now let's talk about games and stuff and other things that make us happy.
Okay.
Let's talk about things that make us happy. So one thing I want to talk about really quickly is a game that I had hoped to play and be talking about today, and I didn't get a chance to play it. But guys, I will be talking about Rise and Shine very soon on the podcast. It's a game by Adult Swim Games. We talked a little bit about Rise and Shine when we were at PAX East because it's one of the games that we were really impressed with, that we spent some time with at the Adult Swim booth. And I have to say, I am so excited to get my hands on this game. Like, it looks like super frustrating just from the, it doesn't forgive you for making mistakes, and you do actually have to use cover cleverly and be patient and think your ways through the shooter, which is cool. And the art style is just fantastic, as we've talked about. So I will be talking about Rise and Shine next week, but just from the time that we had with it at PAX East to its release, I can't imagine that I won't have a lot of positive things to say about the game. So if you have a chance to check it out, make sure that you do. It's by Adult Swim Games. It's available on Xbox, PlayStation, I believe Steam as well. So check it out. Pick it up if you enjoy clever games that look pretty. It's where you get to blow stuff up.
I like blowing stuff up.
Right? But I'll have my hands on more in-depth conversation about it on next week's show. I, this week, am going to be talking about Oxenfree, which we mentioned it briefly when we were doing our coverage of the Video Game Awards, because it was up for a couple of awards. And, you know, I talked about it, you know, really being a great game, but I had not played it. I'd only heard from friends and things how great the game was, and I decided, you know, there were a lot of games that were brought up during the show that I really hadn't invested time in, I hadn't heard of, they didn't make my circles, partly because they were, you know, PC games and I don't do a lot of PC games, and partly because I just haven't had as much time, in all honesty, in the world to play games a lot as much as I'd like to.
They're pretty hectic and busy.
My schedule's a little biz. It's a little full. But I really wanted to pick a couple of games that I had heard about that were a little bit outside of my wheelhouse to play. You know, as part of my resolutions, I said that I was going to play more games on my computer and that I was going to try to, you know, go outside of my usual norms. And so Oxenfree was one of the games that I was like, you know what, that's definitely one that I need to check out. So I did. I'm playing it on my Mac. I just started playing it.
Wait, well, you're playing it on your Mac?
Yes,
I am. You are not a PC gamer.
I'm not, but I'm playing it on my Mac.
Okay.
Yep, playing it on my Mac. And
wow.
Yeah, yeah. I know, right? Big for me.
Very big steps in 2017, Ninja. I'm going to slow clap at you right now.
Oh, thank you.
Like, wow.
So huge. As I started playing the game, was immediately in love with the art style of the game. So everything I had heard about, you know, how it looked was true. It is a beautiful game. It very much reminds me of almost like film noir kind of look, but with color. So like if you were to take Inside and colorize everything inside in the game, it would feel, I think, very much like how Oxenfree looks versus the one singled out color of the shirt of the character that you play in Inside. So it's a beautiful game, you know, and even though it is primarily 2D, actually, there are moments where you venture into backgrounds and things like that, but it is primarily a 2D game, and the characters almost feel like they are paper art moving around, but they're not. I was immediately drawn in by that. And so the basics of the game are that it's not a survival game, but it kind of is. And it's definitely a puzzle game, not necessarily an action game, but has action elements in it. So it's a very well-rounded choose-your-own-adventure because it has multiple endings. So let's talk a little bit about the plot. The basis of the game is you are Alex.
Okay. I'm Alex.
You're Alex.
Hi. I'm Alex.
And Alex is a teenage girl and is on a ferry with her friend, Ren, and her new stepbrother, Jonas. And they are going out to Edwards Island, which is like one of the things that like high schoolers from their school and really from their town do. They go out to this island and basically have like a bonfire. So they can be away from parental guidance and just chill and hang. Okay, and supposedly, according to Ren, a bunch of kids from their school are going that weekend. So they're on the last ferry heading to the island and they're all going to meet up on the beach to have, you know, a raging kegger or whatever. And Alex is sort of kind of into it, but not really. She's just looking forward to hanging out with some friends. And it's really kind of the first long period of time where you get the feeling that this is going to be the first long period of time that Alex and Jonas spend together, newly being siblings. And so the way that the game works is as dialogue is happening and as events are unfolding, you have to choose between three options of how you want to respond. And that affects the story and ultimately how characters react to you and what ending you will probably get at the end of the game. So it's very much like Mass Effect, if you've played those games, where you had like the renegade choice, the paragon choice, and then you kind of had your wishy-washy middle-of-the-road choice.
Okay, like happens. You're like, nothing really bad happened, but nothing really great happened, and you're still alive, so I guess that's like good.
Right, right. Okay, and so
it could have gone a lot worse ending.
Right. And so as these three are talking, they take a photo, a Polaroid. I don't even know who has Polaroids anymore these days, but they take a Polaroid.
Millennials do.
I don't know.
Ironically.
Sure. Okay, great. So they take a Polaroid, and it's the first time that you actually get to see their faces because, again, since it's mostly 2D, it's side scroll as you go through different pieces of the map. So you don't see in great, great detail the characters. It's only when you see these photos of them that you get to see any faces. As you get closer to the island and the place where you guys hop over and go to the beach, you find out a few more things. Ren is really excited and had Alex bring a radio because he had heard that there are like weird things that happen if you take a radio and like tune into some weird stations at the mouth of this cave off of the beach. And so he's really excited because he wants to like see if they can recreate that and if it's really true or not. And to heighten his experience, he's taken some special or eaten some special cookies.
Oh.
So you learn right off the bat that Ren's a little bit of a pothead. Jonas isn't really into that. Jonas is kind of a little bit more aloof and he's, you know, trying to get to know Alex. But it's a weird situation when you're newly siblings and that kind of stuff. And so when you get to the bonfire, you meet the two other characters that are part of the game. And that's Nona and Clarissa. That's where you start getting into your tropey stuff because Nona is very quiet. She's, you know, kind of locked at the hip as far as friendship goes with Clarissa. Clarissa seems to be like an aggro bitch and you don't really know why. And it turns out that it's only them that are going to be at the beach. Nobody else is coming because they were on the last ferry. So it's just them. And we learn through a game that they play that's kind of like truth or dare, but not truth or dare, that Clarissa has issues with Alex because Clarissa used to date Alex's brother, Michael, and Michael passed away. He drowned when he was swimming with his sister as they were having like a goodbye thing because Michael was actually going to leave the town with Clarissa. So Clarissa blames Alex for Michael's death, and that's why she has issues with Alex. Okay. Alex kind of blames herself for her brother's death. And so there's already this dichotomy between them, which then puts Nona in a position of like, look, Clarissa, we don't need to bring that up. This is not the time for that. Why don't you just back off, like have a beer and chill? And they decide to go investigate these caves. When they investigate the caves, which you use a radio to do, and you have to tune in radio signals. So it's really, like, I had a nostalgia moment in dialing in different radio stations because it's been a while since, like, I've seen an analog, like, radio dial. So that, like, hit me in the feels, like, real quick. You're able to tune in, like, these weird sounds and conversations. And you kind of sort of accidentally open up a portal.
Oh, God. Because, you know, whoops.
Whoops. And instead of doing the thing that you should do, which is, hey, I was playing with a radio dial and a portal to someplace opened up. Let me go away from that because that can't be good.
They go in it.
Instead, Jonas jumps in it. Ren's like baked because his brownies start kicking in. And you're like, Jonas, what the hell? No, don't go in there by yourself. And then you, Alex, go after Jonas, which is double dumb, through the portal. And from there on, weird shit starts to happen. There are jump scares that happen, but you end up on another part of the island.
Are you sure it's the same island?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, would you go through portals sometimes? Yep. Sometimes during like parallel universes.
You talk to some people, a thing talks to you, kinda. And you end up basically trying to figure out how to get back to the mainland because once you're able to get back out through the portal, weird earth things start happening. People are not there anymore. Everybody ends up being thrown all around the island. So your first thing is that you got to try and find people to catch back up with them and figure out what the hell is going on. A great mechanic of the game is that you end up in these loops. So some tragic thing happened, and we learn as you go through the game that there was a sub that was stationed outside of the island, and it was a nuclear sub, and there was a terrible, terrible accident, and everybody that was on the sub, civilians and otherwise, passed away.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a monument that was erected onto this island and in their remembrance. And as you start going through the game, You learn that one of the greatest historians on the island, who just passed away, was investigating the accident because she believed that something supernatural was happening because of that accident and was trying to correct it.
Okay.
And so basically what happened was when the crew that was on the sub was atomized, when the sub blew up.
I mean, at least it was, like, virtually painless.
And they were somehow thrown into this ultimate ulterior dimension, alternative dimension, I should say. And they are trying to get back to this one because they feel that people forgot them. They don't remember them.
Oh.
And they are trapped in this nothingness. And they have been for decades. And they try to use the kids that are on the island who opened the portal and made it able for them to communicate with them. They try to use them as vessels as their way back.
Oh, so they're trying to possess the kids. Of course.
They threaten some people when the kids are just like, no, we just want to get the hell off the island and you ain't possessing me because that ain't about to happen. But the way that it's done is it's revealed through these series of puzzles that you have to solve, and you get to a point where you find that they are looping time.
Oh.
In order to keep you there longer so that they can complete their resonance with everyone so they can take them over. So Alex figures this out, shares it with the team, and so you have these interesting moments where you're going through the game where you're trying to get to an area so that you can progress to the next level and hopefully get off the island. Because they're trying to get to a boat before the ferry comes. Because if they don't make it to the morning, that's when the entities will have completed everything that they need and will have control over Nona and Clarissa and Jonas and Ren and even Alex. And so they keep playing with time. And it's interesting in that, like, you will know that you have to go to the radio tower. And you can tell when time is looped because there's this, like, sketch of a tape loop, like a cassette tape loop. And then the screen gets all fuzzy and kind of looks like, you know, like, back in the day when you have VHS tapes and, like, the tracking would go. So you'd have, like, that weird, like, half snow thing at the top of the screen. That's what happens on the screen. And so that's when you know that you're stuck in a loop. And so if you try to progress outside of the screen without literally finding a tape deck that shows up someplace, like a reel-to-reel, and winding the reel-to-reel to reset it, you will continue and be thrust back into that exact same spot in the loop until you find that reel-to-reel and wind it to get out of the loop, which I think is a really interesting mechanic.
It is.
What's cool is as you progress, there are different points in time when you get stuck in a loop and you will see through your reflection either in a lake or in a mirror your character, and the character of Alex will be giving you advice, it seems like from the other side. And what that actually is your friends who have played the game, like your friends on Steam who played the game, suggesting to you what to do in your game. And you don't realize that at first, but you kind of sort of see their username. And again, it typically happens when you're in a loop, so it's a little fuzzy. So the first time, I didn't recognize the screen name that appeared up at the top. But the second time I didn't, I was like, no, that's what's his face on Steam. And then that's when I realized, oh, I'm getting advice from my friends on what to do. Because, like, there's a point in time where, like, you're going through this one puzzle and you're separated from Jonas, and there's a jump scare and everything turns dark and you walk by this mirror, and I got the advice that said, when the time comes, let Jonas talk to his mother. Well, Jonas is my stepbrother right now, currently in the game, because his dad married my mom because his mom was dead. Because my character Alex makes it, I was like, what does that even mean? How can Jonas talk to his mother? His mother is dead. And so, you know, that sets up that, hey, at some point down the road, there's going to be this option, possibly maybe, to let Jonas talk to his dead mother. And that's not weird or scary at all, but...
No, of course not. I do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. I totally do it, like, all the time. And so it's just very interesting. There are several different mechanics that are going along. You eventually get a secondary radio that lets you tune even lower and higher frequencies than just the regular
standard one.
You know, radio that you bought. And you find out that, oh, what's her name? I think it's like Abigail or something. The old woman, the historian, who had figured out the portals and the other entities, and that the other entities were the people who had been
atomized.
Yeah. By the accident, she was trying to find a way to help them not be stuck in the nether space that they are anymore so that they could find rest. But she passed away before she quite figured it out. But she left clues because she was this really brilliant person.
Is she Jonas's mom?
No.
Aw.
No.
I thought that would have been a really good...
But she also left clues around the island at different markers that you can tune in with the new radio, and she basically gives you a deeper backstory. I haven't gotten to all of her markers yet with the pieces, but she gives you more backstory and explanation and basically gives you the tools that you need to, if you pay attention, kind of sort of get the best ending possible in the game. Like I said, there are multiple endings in the game, but I'm really enjoying it because it lets me figure out puzzles and play through puzzles, which is super cool. Mm. And I absolutely love a good puzzle game. The voice acting is so phenomenal. You know, it is very captivating right off the bat. You know, how sometimes in a game, when you listen to lines, you can tell that somebody was in a room by themselves and they didn't have anybody to work off of. And so the line is just delivered. It's not really captivating. This feels like everybody that voiced a character was in a room. They had read through the story. They knew who their people were. And they were reacting to each other truly. And so it's just very captivating and drags you in. So you have these very interesting puzzle elements. You have time play. And, of course, you have my favorite element, which is choose your own adventure. I love it when my story is not linear in that things that my character does affects other characters, affects the end of my game. You know, it's one of the things that I loved about Heavy Rain. It was just Heavy Rain was so heavy.
Heavy was just so heavy that you couldn't get through the rain.
I couldn't do it more than once.
Once was enough
for me. But Oxenfree isn't like that. And even in the moments where it's really kind of a little spooky, and there are a couple of jump scares in it, they're not like, rawr, come at you jump scares. And okay. So I actually was able to get through, like, the first one with no actual issues. So I will probably complete Oxenfree a couple of times because I've already kind of messed up a little bit. So I don't think I'm going to be able to, like, on my first playthrough, get the perfect ending. But they also added additional DLC to the game after it first came out that allows you to get this extra thing that lets you get the super supreme awesome ending if you don't fuck things up in your playthrough. And it does have Game Plus, so you could carry over some of your things, some of your decisions and your knowledge. Like, Alex has severe deja vu feelings when, like, you start out the trip when they're on the ferry. Because if you mess things up, you realize that and that you've ended up in an infinite loop. And so when you get to the ending, it goes right back to the beginning. Just as it seems like you're about to say that you've, like, made a decision to, like, leave the island or you've moved forward with this thing or that thing, the screen does the loop thing where you get the VHS effect and the audio goes out of sync for a hot minute and Alex is talking about having to go because she's getting on the ferry because they're going to Arid's Island. And you're like, no, I'm in an infinite loop. Fuck my life. I love that. And you know, I've only seen that piece of the ending because, like I said, I started watching some various YouTubers play the game because everybody has their own theories about what's going on and interprets different things that happen in the game different ways. And I've loved immersing myself in those conversations and trying to figure out, like, well, do I feel that way about it or don't I feel that way about it or, you know, those kinds of things. And I love it. I love the experience. And I kicked myself a little bit for being late to the party, but I'm glad that I'm late to the party because it means that I was able to pick up the DLC. So I'll be able to have, like, the full experience with the game when I get all the way through it. But if you have not tried the game yet or played the game yet, I highly, highly recommend that you check out Oxenfree because, like, I love everything about it. The detail that went into the game, the voice acting, the actual game mechanics, the puzzles that you have to solve. Like, none of them are super, super straightforward, easy. But none of them are like, there's no way in hell I would have been able to figure this out on my own without looking at a walkthrough or a guide or something kind of puzzle. And I really like that. And I've enjoyed watching a couple of the YouTubers that I've seen play through the game have the same kind of epiphanies that I have had to the points that I've played. So I think...
Does that, like, make you feel like, man, I'm a good gamer. Like, I responded favorably to something the way other people. Or do you just kind of feel like you're in the bell curve? Like, oh, everyone had, or everyone so far that I've watched, plus myself, have had the same. So, like, we're all on the same wavelength.
It's definitely an affirmation. I don't know if it's a gamer affirmation, but it's just, like, it's nice to be like, yeah, like, I thought that way too, kind of thing. And have... for a second, that connection to that YouTuber. You know, like, I was watching Jacksepticeye play it, and at one point, he and I made, like, the exact same decision about one thing, and we both had the same thought process as to how and why we picked that thing. And I was like, yeah, right? Like, I felt, like, you know, vindicated for making my decision that I felt, like, probably wasn't a real popular decision. I think at the same spot, you probably would have made the opposite choice than me. In all honesty, sis, but it was, like, not so much that I wanted to feel like I belong, but it's nice to have that moment of recognition with somebody that you respect going, yeah, I think that same thing. Like, yeah, like, we have this in common. And so it was more of, like, it's cool to know that I have this in common with Jacksepticeye for a hot second than, like, I'm, like, 50 billion other people on the planet. The game does have that built in, though, when you finish it as it's going through, like, the choices that you made, it gives you a graph, and it just shows you, like, where you were in alignment. So it was kind of like, you know, whether or not you were in top percentiles of things or not, it gives you a pie chart, and it doesn't tell you what the percentages are for the other pieces of the pie. It just says things like, you and 6% of other players made this decision. You and this percentage of players made this decision instead of this one in this place or something like that. So it's interesting to see, like, whether or not you pop up in the minority or with the majority. And I think that's a really interesting thing to add at the end of it. Especially not telling you, like, what percentage made the other choices or, like, what the overriding choice was if you're in the minimal. So, like, when I was watching Jack, like, one of the big things that I know he and I are going to disagree on, he was, like, in the super minority of people who made that decision. And so you could see, like, it was like, you and 2% of other players made this decision. He was like, oh no, I did the wrong thing. Because, like, almost the entire rest of the pie, people made the other decision. But it doesn't tell you what the percentage is, because there are, like, a couple other slivers. But, like, it was like fat Pac-Man. And you're just like, dude. Like, you have those moments of recognition. And then you're curious. You're like, well, what were those other slivers? And I only thought that there was, like, these three ways to go, but there's, like, these six slivers. So what were they? Like, what other decisions affected that? So it piques your curiosity. And I think it gives you, if you were that into the game up to that point, an overriding reason to go back into the game and play it again because you want to know.
You want all those nuggets of narrative. Yeah. You want to understand everything.
I do. Like, I have so many questions, you know, just to the part that I've played through and then looking at, you know, like I said, a couple of other people playing the game. Like,
I call it the morsel effect. Like, they give you several big juicy morsels of, like, story and motivation for people. And, like, some gamers are like, that's all I need. And they get the experience that they want. But then some people are just too curious for their own good. And they just are like, I need a few more morsels. And they may get it, but it might take them several playthroughs. The morsel effect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what it is. So I know that I'm going to play Oxenfree at least a couple of times because I do want to get, like, the perfect ending. But I kind of also want to, like, do an ending where I completely, like, screw everybody and everything over to see what happens.
Don't you love having that God complex? It's like, I can bring you to victory, or I can take you to damnation.
Right, and it's all based on my decision. And so it's the ultimate choose your adventure, which, again, are some of my more favorite things to read and play. So I cannot say enough about the game. Like, I don't have any negatives about the game. And it's not super difficult or super long. So, you know, you can play it through, you know, probably if you sit down, you can probably get through the game in like 4 hours tops.
All right, but, so, you know, it's got high replay. Length isn't everything.
Right, it's not about the length, but that's a perfect length if you're going to do replay for a drone adventure, because you'd be like, okay, well, this afternoon I'm going to try and do this, and then see what ending you get, and then be like, okay, so now I'm going to block off, like, another afternoon, and I'm going to try and get this ending now. So I'm going to try to make the decisions I think will get me to that point instead. And I really love it. I highly recommend it. Oxenfree is a fantastic game. You can get it on Steam. You should definitely, definitely check it out.
Okay. I think I may.
You should. Everybody that's listening to this podcast should check it out, but you, especially Panda, you need to play it, because we then have to have conversations about the decisions that we made.
Okay. I mean, that sounds amazing. And, I mean, it definitely sounds like something that, like, if I had gotten to first, I would have been like, I'm going to spoil the fuck out of it. You ready? Because I've played it a million times.
I've tried hard not to spoil it, because that's one thing that I don't like about the internet is spoiling games for people. Like, let me go on a journey.
I honestly think that if you are interested in a game enough, no matter what people have said about it, clearly your take on your experience is going to be different than what you would say or what KBD might experience. So, I mean, I don't get strongly disillusioned when people tell me about games. Like, I mean, going back to last week when I was talking about Final Fantasy 15, like, everyone was singing its praises, and I mean, that got me intrigued because I'd been kind of taking the break. But I mean, I think I'm having a different experience playing the game than everyone else, who's still kind of like, oh my God, like, I can just listen to the soundtracks and it's great, and I can drive in my car all day. While those are things like you can do and you do quite often in the game, they're not the things about the game that I thoroughly have come to enjoy. So even if someone told me a story, and so far no one has, but I think if someone's like, yeah, this happens at the end, I'd be like, well, let me get there. And, like, my experience of getting to that end is going to be different, because somebody obviously critical path and didn't do all the, you know, side stuff. And, I mean, we know I'm a completionist and a a follow-through type of person, and I like to pick things up and gather them and make things and... at least in games, not in real life. I'm far too lazy for any of that. But, I mean, I think I've clocked in about 33 hours, and people have been saying they've been able to critical path Final Fantasy 15 and 25. And I'm like, I'm not that very far chapter-wise in my game, but that's just because I'm doing all of the things. So, I mean, like, and granted, I don't even think the game is completely done, because I think they shipped it as it was, knowing that there was definitely enough to sustain the game, but clearly they had a lot of other intentions for the world. And, I mean, they might maybe include it in a DLC. I'm not exactly sure how that would work, but, you know, still. But that's not the game I'm really going to talk about today, but I did want to bring that up. Mm-hmm. I and the fiancé have been taking turns buying games off of the PS4 since we've been playing that a lot more because of the aforementioned Final Fantasy 15. And he picked up one that I've watched him play, and then I bought one that I'm looking forward to play. But the one I want to talk about is what I've seen him play and my involvement in it, because it does have this interesting co-op ability in the game. And it's called Tearaway Unfolded. And this is actually a retelling of a game of a similar name, Tearaway, that was on the PS Vita back in like 2012. Mm-hmm. It was made by, I think, Media Molecule, which I think was the dev house that did... I think it's...
Little Big Planet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it has a very unique, fresh perspective in animation and style. And it definitely grabs your eye visually, first and foremost. Which at first I was like, what is this game? Like, what's going on? Like, I usually zone out when he plays stuff, because most of the time it's space and it's really heady and there's a lot of words I don't know and it makes my head hurt and I don't want to have to try to involve myself. But this was like a, look at me, I'm a friendly, approachable game. Sit down and, like, here's my exposition and look how cute I am. Like, I hate to say that I'm an aesthetic person, but I absolutely am. But essentially what happens in this game is you can control a male or female character. I think it's Itoa and Itoi. like, so their names are kind of plays on each other. Okay. And they are a messenger. And, like, they're cute and they're made out of paper and their head's like a letter. Like, it's very, very, very cute. And they're on a mission to deliver a unique message to you, the player. People refer to you, the player, the person who, the thing who's getting this message, as the you. So, like, everyone knows that you are a messenger and that you have this task. So whenever you get bumped into, or rather either the messengers get bumped into, like, you've got some people who want to encourage you and they want you to succeed to get your unique message to the you. And then there are others who obviously do not want whatever this message is to get to you. So that's pretty much your journey. It's a pilgrimage from start to end of the messenger trying to get this message to you. And because this was played on the Vita, it used all of the sensory stuff in the Vita that allowed you, the player, to manipulate things in the paper world to help the messenger get to the next place and to get on to the next task and to continue on with their journey. There are some antagonists called scraps, which I believe they're made out of, like, newspaper or, like, yellow pages, which is how seriously outdated they are. And they infect the world. And, like, the whole world is, like, construction paper and colorful and everything. Like, origami, if origami was, like, a living thing, sort of.
Okay.
And scraps take them over and, like, make them look like paper mache before it's been painted. So, like, they crud up the world, essentially. And, like, they're trying to, like, tamper with you and, like, kind of rotten you out and kind of, you know, mess with the message and stuff. And you have to, as the player, use your controller, like the little sensory color pad thing in the front. You know, like that thing that changes color when you play Amplitude because of what color ship you are, that
yes.
color thing.
Yep.
So that is your, like, little flashlight. And you, the player, can restore scraps that have been, or pieces of paper that have been turned into scraps, and you can return them back to their color and their texture, and or you could help create paths for the messenger to get to places. And that also can help the messenger, like, not necessarily defeat, because they don't really beat up each other, but, like, if you shine the light on a scrap, it will then, like, kind of turn into a nice piece of paper, and then it won't try to hurt you, but it doesn't last very long, kind of thing. So, like, you can stop their advances, but you don't straight up murder or things.
Cure them.
Yeah, exactly. So I did mention that this game has, like, this really interesting co-op feature, and it has this creative, customizable thing that we know that I love. I played the heck out of Little Big Planet 1. I didn't get into 2 very much, I don't think. But
I didn't get into 2 either.
But I was all about 1 because of all the things I could customize, and the stickers, and my little beanbag person who had beautiful... I was all about that. So there is a companion app that you can get for the PlayStation 4 version, which is the unfolded version, where someone can be on a tablet, and when you happen to meet somebody who, like a NPC that you meet, who's like, I really like squirrels, but I haven't seen one in forever. Do you know what a squirrel looks like? And then the person on the iPad or tablet who has the companion app can actually, like, draw, like, the eyes or, like, the whiskers or something, and they can make little paper versions of them that can then be stuck on things and or people or paper things. So, like,
that's,
you can have
interesting second screen play.
It's really cute. And or you could take pictures in real time in your, like, in your living room, which my fiance did, which I didn't catch, and you can actually have that be backgrounds in the game. So at one point, I look up from my Kindle because I started to read at that point, and I saw this moose, and I noticed this moose had my face on it.
Okay.
So I didn't realize he had taken a picture and, like, put it on, like, the moose wanted a new coat, like a new warm coat, and apparently my face is very warm because this moose was just rocking it. And but it's a really great way to, I think, engage, you know, and if you have someone who's not super strong, who doesn't always want to play something, you know, heady or rich, but wants to be involved and might have some type of creative streak, this allows them to interact in the world of Tearaway without having to, commit to, oh, this is my player and I have to control them and I have all these functions. And it's a really light way to expose people to what gameplay can be, which I think is kind of what this particular company's, you know, dev house has always kind of been about, is about trying to expand what a gamer's experience is away from the general UI mechanics that we will all get exposed to in, you know, these types of games. So it was really super cute. I don't believe he's finished it so far, though, but I'm actually kind of curious about playing it in a more traditional way. But I did buy the companion app, so I have it on my iPad mini. Mm-hmm. So I have made butterfly wings. I have made a scarecrow, because there's a little quest where you have to scare these crows off this land. And you have a pumpkin, but you have to, like, put a face on the pumpkin. And it's supposed to be scary, but mine has, like, ridiculously big anime eyes, and he's the friendliest thing. But the crows can't stand it. Like, they're terrified of the smiley face. So sometimes killing them with kindness actually does work. But it is available right now on PlayStation 4. I think we got it for, like, $2. But it's super cheap right now. Like, I think it's the It game for this gold month or whatever. But, like, if you played it on the Vita, then this is a great way to get it back and be able to play it on your main system. Now, next week, I already know what I'm going to talk about because it's the game that I bought, which is Dark Cloud 2, which I think I've talked on this show a long time ago.
I was about to say, like, it's been a while since you've talked about Dark Cloud.
Ever. But it was also part of the month, the gold month for PlayStation 4. It was a free download, though. And we bought that because he played Dark Cloud.
Let's get things clear, okay? Games with gold are on the Xbox.
Oh, well, I mean, whichever the membership.
Yes, and then you have the Plus membership game.
The Plus, that's what I mean. It's part of the free games for the month. That's what I mean.
Just to show you
how often I do it. Okay, ever, because I'm stingy. But we picked it up, and we both played Dark Cloud 1. And I'm sure you remember how often I would bring up that game.
I may have actually wiped that from my memory.
Oh, well, and then when I got Dark Cloud 2, I know I talked about it.
Dark Clouds, Dark Souls, and Diablo that I've just, like,
blah, 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 blah.
I put it all in the dark box and locked it.
All right, well.
Threw that away.
I hate to say it, because that box is probably going to, like,
I'm sure that's how you felt when I was, like, going through my Destiny addiction.
It's right. I mean, it's not going to be an overwhelming thing, but I think because it's been so long since I've played this franchise.
I don't even remember the game. What's the game about? What's Dark Cloud about?
So,
I don't even remember.
Well, the game I'll be playing next week and talk about next week is Dark Cloud 2. So
yeah,
it's,
but what was Dark Cloud about?
Like,
I'm assuming Cloud 2 picks up after Dark Cloud?
It does and it doesn't. So So the thing about Dark Cloud 1 was you played this character who you can name. So I don't even remember what I named my character. But he is the chosen one. I think it's a he. The pixels don't really do them any justice.
Okay.
But the chosen one has the ability to mold and shape time and is able to move things too, like physical things. And the world, because of the dark genie, has been completely wiped out. So, like, you're trying to restore the legacies, essentially, of all these places that you visit, because that's kind of your task. So, like, you meet one person, they say something, you're able to travel back into time when things were still around, and you're able to influence them. And depending on how you go through the dungeons, how you get things back and how you place them when you get them, you get a, like, performance. I don't want to say performance rating, but you get, like, a actuality rating, like how the world should, the area should have been mapped. So, like, if you adhere to all that stuff in a special way, you get more points for recreating it and reestablishing it and stuff. You get perks for how you do that. And you're doing that in several different places, and you're restoring the world, and you're gaining all this power. And the genie is obviously the Dark Lord's not too happy with the fact that you're messing up his stuff. And you eventually have to fight him too, which you do. Fast forwarding to Dark Cloud 2, now there are two of these crystal antilama things. They're just these crystal things that the initial chosen one, he only had one and it was green. In the second game, you are a tinkerer and his name is Max. Max has a blue one and he's in the past. And there's a princess in the future and she has a red one. So Max can only manipulate things in the past. whereas the princess, whose name I can't remember, can only manipulate things in the future. And they come together because somehow she is being pursued in her time. And I think it's someone, like, it's like, I can send you back in time to keep you away from things, but things are going to get really bad here. So if you could shift things in the past, even though your Antimala thing doesn't do that, you know, when you get back here, you'll be able to, you know, prevent this from happening. So she gets sent back, and that's where she meets Max, you know, and Max has one, but Max doesn't really get it. Like, he's had it forever, but he doesn't realize it has power. That kind of story of like a chosen one kind of, you know, and she goes back and she's like, you have one, you have this power. I need your help. I need you to help me do all these things. And he's just like, I'm a tinker. I just make stuff. And she's like, well, I need your help. And I know that you can do this thing. So we're going to do this. And you kind of adventure. Like I said, hers can only manipulate things in the future. So she can only go a little further than he can. Mm-hmm. Like in a world, like when they're down in one place, like she can go, I think it's like 4 or 5 years ahead. And he can only go back. So like when she goes to like the future of like in the town that they're in, she's like, okay, so all this stuff's going on here. So I need you to go back 3 years and go talk to this guy. So like you have to use both of them in succinct to do this really convoluted, like time is really hard to do in games. I don't know why we still struggle to try to do it effectively, because, you know, they probably established a lot of paradoxes. But you're customizing weapons, you're doing all that stuff, which I love. Like, I was all about it then. And I'm actually really curious to bring it to play it again, because I'm wondering if I will have the same appreciation. Because now when I think about it, trying to relate the story, I'm like, I don't know how I sat through that. I don't know how
it's hurt in my head already.
Right now. So, like, I'm excited to play the nostalgia game, because, I mean, I think I will be far more honest about how it works as a game versus a narrative. Because the narrative, I definitely understand where they're going, but I don't know if the test of time will be kind to how it was actually created and
laid out.
And how well... Yeah, exactly. So I will talk about that next week. But
so what platform is that going to be on?
That's on the PlayStation 4. Because like I said, right now we're both really fixated on the PlayStation 4 because, you know, I'm playing Final Fantasy 15 whenever he's not playing Lego Dimensions, or rather when he's not trying to force me to play Lego Dimensions.
I love how you really said it like real low. Like,
well, because
like I said, I said, bitch.
I love Lego. Like I do. Like I appreciate what Lego has done.
I hear justification coming. I hear justification coming. But
I mean, you love Disney Infinity. Like
I did love Disney Infinity.
You did love Disney Infinity. You loved collecting the little things and having them on your mantle. I think you still have some up there.
I do.
And like putting them on the little pad thing and then they come into life. Like I played a little bit with you and it was like a nice drop in, drop out kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Well, with Lego Dimensions, it's a little different because, yeah, you have your little platform that the things go on, but they're Legos, so you have to assemble them. And they give you directions to do that. And I am not good at making things. And, like, even with the directions, I struggle. And he's, like, a wizard and blinks and they're done. And, like, you have to change the portal thing to go through the dimensions. Like, and you have to move particular pieces. It's not even like, oh, just take a piece off and now it's... No, like, you literally have to, like, take... And you have to, like, manipulate it. So, like, for him, it's, like, the bee's fucking knees. And for me, like, I'm like, if I lose a piece and then I step on it and then I have the most immense pain in my foot, I'm going to hate this game forever. So, like, I'm always kind of teetering on fear of, like, physical pain and mental anguish. Now, when the game's up and running and everything's, it's super cute and it's fun, I don't know if there's really a plot to it, though, because most of the time I just break things and get coins. And he's doing stuff, but I don't know what he's doing. So, like, so it's a little, I feel a little like I'm lost in translation. Like, if I had been a kid when this first came out, like a small kid who loved Legos and, like, was competent, then I bet I would be just as excited as he is. Yeah, well, because I don't make things. Like I said, like, I can customize shit. I like to color in shit. But, like, you want me to build something? What?
Why?
No.
I don't.
It's not my skill set. Not my wheelhouse. It's not. It's not. But it is his. So, like, it does give us both something. But, like, I think he's hoping, like, I will get a love for making things. Uh-huh. And so, like, he tries. She tries. And, like, I will play it. But I can't. I don't get into that part of the game. So it pulls me out every time we have to do it. And literally every time you're jumping between hub worlds, you have to do it. So I'm like, if you really want me to play, then you need to have everything ready for what you want me to do. Because the minute we have to shift something, I'm out. Like, I'm done. The light turns off. I'm no longer interested. And that's it. In and out. But, I mean, it is super cute, though. So, like, as a palate cleanser or, like, a 15-minute between stuff, I will absolutely play this. But, like, the longevity of it for me is a little lacking. Gotcha. And that's just me. Because if he sat here and heard me say that, well, he would be like, oh, no, you are just not understanding the nuance.
And, and then you're like, oh, here comes the lecture.
Here it comes. Exactly. Brace yourself.
Gird your loins. All right. So the last thing that I want to bring up is one that we haven't really talked about in a bit. I want to talk about because I'm getting more and more interested in the game.
Okay.
So I spent a little bit of time with For Honor from Ubisoft when I was at E3. And remember, I was like, it's the brawler game and you have factions. Do you remember, Amanda?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
But then so much other news came out, both from Ubi and other people that like the game. I really feel like got overshadowed by like everything else. You know, I was super, super still hyped about Scalebound until Microsoft announced last week they scrapped it. And I was like, Platinum, why? Why? I really wanted to play that game. But evidently there were issues in hitting deadlines and ultimately so many companies are now scared of not hitting their original forecasted release date that if it looks like they can't do it.
I mean, I'm still not confident
enough in pushing it back.
Right, exactly. I think that's the thing.
Everyone's scared of, you know, with everything that happened with No Man's Sky, I think that developers now are very scared about doing that versus either just scrapping a title because they were too ambitious with what they wanted to do in the beginning and just letting it go, or, you know, kind of taking the Last Guardian route and saying, this is on hold for right now.
I think companies, very much like you said, are in that middle place of, there's a weird middle ground of fear because, you know, if you say, you know what, it's not ready, we're pulling back, you know, in that regard, when you pull back like that, they're going to expect that you're going to pull out like a BioShock Infinite. Like, it's going to be worth the pullback. Or on the other side of that, very much like The Last Guardian, like you said, like, if you pull it back and you pull it back too far and for too long, and then it's nothing like we as the consumer have been anticipating, like, it's, so you'd rather just get it out when you say you're going to get it out and not have to deal with either of those, you know, nippers. If you do deliver it on time and it's broken as fuck, people are still going to complain. So I don't think there's any, there's no solid ground whichever way you swing it.
Right, right. So I was disappointed to see Scalebound drop, but I do think that, you know, For Honor really got overshadowed by, you know, the Wildlands game and Crackdown 3 and, you know, the Zelda game and, you know, just so many other things, you know, the slimmed Xbox, that kind of stuff, that I know for me, in the whole scheme of things, it kind of fell by the wayside. But I've been spending more time with it, learning about it, because, as we all know, I love brawlers. I love games where, you know, it's basically just capture the flag and be smart about it, but go in and just fight your way strategically to get and achieve that thing. It's kind of like Risk in that way.
Okay. It took me a while to get into Risk.
But I love Risk.
Have you played Risk Legacy? I think you would dig it.
I haven't played any digital Risk games. I like to play the board game.
Risk Legacy is a board game. It's a physical analog game.
No, I haven't played Legacy. Original Risk. I have two, actually, original Risk boards in my house. And so I like to get, like, a good group of, like, six people together because it it really gets good when you got, you know, more than three people. Because you need more than an axis of evil if you're going to go after word domination. But I like to get a good group of, like, six, you know, or more people together and play Risk. And so For Honor, it reminds me of that in, if you're not familiar with the game, you have these factions. There's a knight faction, a samurai faction, and a Viking faction. And you're all warring for control of basically the world. But you have different, based on the faction that you pick, different warriors and different skill sets available to you. And what you have to do is take your armies, hopefully survive, and capture various generals and points on the map in order to win. So it's very much like Risk, and if you ever played a Dynasty Warriors game. You know.
Oh, you love fucking Dynasty Warriors. You were obsessed with Dynasty fucking Warriors.
I think I finally gave up at like six.
I have to commend you for that, because I think I used to watch people play it, and I'd be like, I just like all the fancy fireworks whenever you hit. Like, it was very colorful, but like, I was like, I don't know what's happening. There's so many people on the screen, and one of them's a general. Oh, he's the guy on the horse. Okay, so you really just want to take out the guy on the horse, but you gotta get through all the other guys first.
Right. You gotta, before you can take out the general, you gotta take out the sub-general so that you loosen the morale so that more of the fighters will basically die easier. But, and so once you destroy all the morale, then you can just, like, straight up crip walk into the camp and be like, bye, General Lu Bu. Boink, 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 boink. Oh, the memories. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to Dynasty Warriors, though. But, or Samurai Warriors. But, yeah, I was addicted. And
or Hyrule Warriors, remember that.
Yeah, I do. I got out of that real quick. All right.
We all have things we're sorry for.
You know, we all have our dirty little secrets. Unfortunately, some of mine are recorded for all time.
Yep, mine too.
Like Hyrule Warriors. Too. All right, so anyway. But For Honor is by Yubi, and I mean, it's a pretty looking game, and I would say that, again, it's been a while since I played a Dynasty Warriors game, so I can't speak to what, you know, characters look like in that game, but it's a super highly detailed, and you do have to be very strategic about who you take where. It's not just about, get the horde here, all right, like, now knock everybody out. Okay, now take the horde over here. Like, if you pick the wrong characters, if you pick the wrong groups for your armies, you won't be able to be successful. Each faction has both its strengths and its weaknesses, so understanding who you're going against and making sure that you choose the right loadouts. You know, really, it's all about having the right weapon for the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that about the game. And I've seen some more video gameplay because they did some alphas and they've got a closed beta that's going to be running the 26th through the 29th. And I'm trying to get in on that beta because I really would like to play the game because I'm much more interested in it now after watching some of the alpha gameplay videos. What I tried at E3 was really only a piece of what the game has actually really turned into, and I'm much more intrigued by it now because, frankly, there's much more thought that you have to put behind your factions before you go into battle than I thought there was going to be. I thought very much like this is just a more modernized version of Dynasty Warriors, and instead of just being all Romance of the Three Kingdoms, now we're just like, samurais and knights and Vikings are hammering it out for control of Avalon? I don't know. But they're battling, and, like, turns out broadsword, pretty good choice. But not against really quick ninjas with katanas. Because speed kills. So that in a bucket, basically.
That in a bucket!
Yeah, exactly. So I learned, when I went back and reinvested in learning about the game, that my initial impressions were actually off, and the game is much deeper than what I thought it was. And so, because I was afraid that it was just a Dynasty Warriors knockoff, and it's not that. So, I'm definitely going to be checking out the game. Hopefully, I'll be able to get into the beta, and maybe I'll be able to share my thoughts about that in a quick write-up on the website. Don't know yet, because I'm not sure what the rules are about the beta. You know, sometimes some companies don't let journalists cover betas, you know, because there are, it's a beta, so it's
right. They're betas, so you know,
don't have issues.
They're not
representative of the full game, so I have to kind of see once I'm in the beta if I can actually talk about the beta or not. And so if I can, I definitely will. But it's back on my radar, basically, is what I'm saying. Versus it had really fallen off because Crackdown 3 is like looming in the distance. My body is so ready. I need Crackdown 3 in my life.
Oh my god, I can already. It's like, what are you doing tonight? You want to crack down tonight?
You're playing Crackdown with me. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Those texts are coming, sis. Like,
yes, I know.
Ready.
My body's ready.
Okay, ready your body. I'm just saying.
I'm preparing my mental shield for all the texts and all of the hey bro,
what you doing, bro?
It's like, look, like, I know you can't have pizza, but I have mozz sticks here.
I mean, it's like the best alternative to pizza.
To pizza.
When you can't.
And they got your name on them, bro. Like, I can hear your siren call now.
I'm just saying, like, when you don't have the ability to pizza.
Find the best pizza alternative.
And also, Crackdown. I mean, come on. You can't tell me that you're not excited for Crackdown.
So, like, you're really passionate about Crackdown, and I'm just happy that it exists and it's fun. But, like, you take it to a level that I'm just not mentally prepared for. Like, you're like its cheerleader. You're like its mom sending it off to school. Like, you're just, you have a nice day, Crackdown. I made your favorite. Like, you're just so happy. Like, I think if you were My Little Pony, it would, your cutie mark would be the Crackdown symbol because of how pro Crackdown you are. And while I'm like, I like it, it's fun, but like, I'm just not there, bro.
All right, so here's the deal. I mean, I'm not going to be like obsessive about making you play with me, but you will have to get the game. And
I'm sorry, envision like the whole Love Actually scene where you show up at my door with these giant cue cards and it's like, hey, bro, guess what? Crackdown came out. And like, have that moment, that Keira Knightley and the guy from The Walking Dead moment from Love Actually, except it's about Crackdown. And she's just sitting there like, I don't know how to feel about what's happening at me right now.
No, that's what I feel is going to happen. No, you're just going to get a text every once in a while, and it's just going to say, hey, bro, you Crackdown? And it'll just be the Crackdown symbol.
You Crackdown, bro? So...
But it'll be every once in a while. It's not going to be like every day, every night. We're like, Crackdown. I'm not like on crack for the Crackdown.
Like, I'm excited for your jubilistic energy. Like, it's just a lot because, you know, you're not on that level all the time. But when you are, it is like volcano of like happy kittens and rainbows. Like, it is an intense wave of joy.
I don't get an intense wave of joy about a lot of games, but there are some franchises that I do. Like,
it's like a tsunami of joy. Everyone's like, I can't take all this joy.
I get that way with Crackdown. I'm going to be that way with Bulletstorm.
Yes. Yes. See? And even then, like, I'm just drowning in your joy, which sounds really gross.
Oh, you had to take it there because I was not taking it there. I get that way with Saints Row. But man, we both kind of get that way with Saints Row.
I really wish we could have, like, another one. Like, Saints Row the 5th. Like
needs to happen.
Where are you?
I know, right? Like, where?
Like, Out of the Hell was not terrible, but, like, I feel like it was, like, a sub-story. Like, yeah. It could have been going on during, like,
just 4. Like the Dominatrix one. Like, it was just DLC. Like, I'm ready for 5. Like, my body, my thumbs, like,
I'm ready to get big titties and the big bulge in my pants. Not the same time, though, but if I do, that'd be okay. But, like, I'm just ready.
I just want to know, like, what crazy gun do you come up with after you've got a dildo bat and a dubstep gun? Like, where else can you go with this? You blew up the Earth. Like, where do you go?
We're in space now.
Like, what are we doing? What is going on? Are the Saints going over universal domination now? Like, what are we doing? We're Star Trekking it now. Do we make the fucking Federation? I don't even know what happens at this point, but I want to.
I want to, too.
I want to.
I want to. I want to.
All right. I think that's a good place to wrap this one up. Yeah, that's what I think. So if you enjoyed the podcast that we talked about a lot this podcast, I hope that you love us, like us, subscribe to us. And there's all different ways that you can do that. You can get our podcast every single week, starting with our website, electricsisterhood.com. We have it posted every single week. We also have the feed. So if you want to, you can add that to your feed reader for the podcast only. You can also get the podcast through iTunes, either on your desktop or through your iOS device via the podcast application. Just search for the Eshcast and subscribe. You can also get our podcast through Stitcher Radio if you're not living La Vida I. You can also find our podcast on Google Play. You can find our podcast on VogNetwork.com. You can find our podcast pretty much any place you go on the internet and search for the Eshcast. You will find it. So whichever way floats your boat, babe, just make sure that you subscribe. Share it with your friends. We love, love, love hearing from new people that discover our podcast and fall in love with it. Feel free to leave a review wherever you're getting the podcast on and let us know how you like the show. You can also hit us up through social, Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh, on Twitter and Instagram at ESH News. That's where we aggregate all different kinds of stories, things that we're reading about, sharing with you. And we hope that you enjoy and share back with us, comment, and let us know if there's something that you want us to check out or review. You can leave us a message on our Facebook page or just tweet at us and be like, hey, you chicks should totally check out blah, 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 blah. And if we do, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast when we do it. So you can get like 15 seconds of fame. If you enjoy our show and if you enjoy the great things that we write about on our site, electricsisterhood.com, then make sure that you check out all the other great sites and shows that are created by all of the content creators that live under the Esh umbrella, starting with the No Borders, No Race podcast, found over at b3crew.com, hosted by our homeboy, King Baby Duck. If you haven't bookmarked the site, if you haven't checked out the podcast, please make sure that you do. If you love things that are indie, whether that's music, movies, manga, anime, TV, film, KBD is talking about it. Make sure that you check out his show. Make sure that you check out the site. They're doing great things over there at B3, and we highly recommend it, not just because we love those men, but because we love the stuff that they talk about. So make sure you check out b3crew.com. Also, be sure to check out smashrook.com, held down by our homie HamsterMan2049. And every Wednesday at 9 Eastern, he is streaming live on Twitch a different game that he's playing. Visit our Facebook page and get the link a couple of hours before he goes live. And then a couple of minutes right before he goes live on Twitch. Twitch.tv/HamsterMan2049. And everything from current games to retro games are up for grabs during his live stream. So watch, talk along, be part of chat as he plays along various different games. Enjoy that. And if you love being part of something, you will love being part of Phil's Recap and Review, hosted by the one, the only, Phil the Issues Guy. You can find him on YouTube, like, subscribe to his channel, share his content, be part of his live recaps. He talks about everything. Like, any show that is nerdy is up for grabs. Walking Dead, Westworld, Sopranos, like, you name it. He's done a recap of it. And new shows that are coming out, we'll definitely get recapped too. But you can be part of the show live, be part of chat, call in. Definitely make sure that you check out Phil's Recap and Review and visit the site issuesprogram.com to learn about upcoming shows and things that Phil's reviewing. Last, certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com giving you the things that nerds crave. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Comic books, anime, manga, video games, movies, TV. If nerds are talking about it, the nerds over at Nerd Crave are talking about it. So make sure that you bookmark all of our sites, follow us all across social, engage with our shows, and let us know if there's something that you want us to check out. Because we'll more than likely do it. And somebody from the team may have already done it. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Bye.